We're now joined by Garrett Ainsworth, who's the CEO of District Metals, trading on the TSX venture with DMX. Garrett, good to see you in person.
It's absolutely fantastic to see you in person for the first time, yeah.
We've had a lot of conversations regarding the continuing work at your Tom Tebow project in Sweden. You just came out with news this week, along with everybody else. It must be conference season. A lot of news out this week. But intersected, you said, the feeder zone mineralization, Tom Tebow, with just under 10 meters, 2.34% copper equivalent. So success at the drill bit in this early stages of Tom Tebow.
Yeah, so that's the last of the drill assays being released from our spring 2021 drill program that ended in June. This last news release, we were reporting on the feeder zone style mineralization. And I mean, the real big takeaway there is we hit multiple stacked lenses of feeder zone mineralization. And also within that, there was a few zinc-rich zones, which tells us there's been multiple pulses of mineralization over a long period of time and actually remobilization of some of the more zinc distill mineralization. So these are all characteristics that are really important to large mineralizing systems within the Bergslagen, and we have it right here at Tom Tebow. So it's really good to see it.
This was the last of the spring drill campaign. Walk us through what's been going on this summer and into the early fall.
Yeah, okay. So the first news release on drill assays we put out in May, those holes were up from kind of like the northern part of the Tom Tebow mine complex, you know, very silver, zinc, lead rich. You know, I've actually been breaking it down into a value per ton, just to help kind of compare, instead of, you know, having four or five different grades. So I mean, last year at Garpenberg, they mined out 3 million tons at, you know, $165 per ton. And I mean, what we're intersecting in the northern part of the Tom Tebow mine is, you know, $164 to, you know, above $200 per ton type rock. So very, very good, comparable, in line with what you see at Garpenberg. But at the Oscarsgruven zone, you know, we were hitting, you know, there's an intercept of 12.5 meters of $164 per ton type rock, wide open at depth and along strike. But a very important part there is that Rodney Allen, our technical advisor, came in. He looked at the mineralization in great detail. He said, you know what, guys, this is exactly what the style of mineralization is that you see at Garpenberg. And I mean, that extends down to 1600 meters. So part of the phase two program will have a lot of focus on this northern Oscarsgruven zone within the Tom Tebow mine complex.
What about generating new targets?
And that's going to be a lot of fun in this phase two program. Yeah. So we're probably going to have about 70% of our drilling focused around doing some pretty aggressive step outs from the hits that we've just had in our phase one. You know, 100 meter step outs, down dip, along strike. But I mean, we've also been, you know, doing a lot of geophysical surveys, mag, conductivity, and gravity, and we put those all together, and we've come up with some really exciting, you know, multi-anomaly geophysical type targets. One of them that I'm excited about the most is about a kilometer to the northeast of the Tom Tebow mine. It's a very strong gravity, high target with coincident mag and conductivity. It's completely blind, which, you know, that's what you find at Garpenberg. A lot of the mineralization is blind. There's no outcrop. There's no indications. It's never been drilled. So we're going to be drilling it for the first time. And, you know, the fact that it's a kilometer along trend from the Tom Tebow mine, that kind of periodicity is also very good. So yeah. It gives us a really excellent chance at making a bona fide grassroots discovery a kilometer to the northeast. And we also see the same type of target 600 meters to the southwest of the Tom Tebow mine, which we'll be drilling as well.
So potential to make new discoveries, add scale to Tom Tebow.
Absolutely. And that's the key, is tonnage, right? It's right. These are these polymetallic mineralizing systems. Garpenberg, you know, has a global tonnage of, you know, upwards of 250 million tons with production, you know, reserves, resources, and whatnot. And a standalone operation in the Bergslagen is about 10 million tons with grades similar to what you see at Garpenberg. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're really going to be moving quickly, especially if there's a satellite type discovery a kilometer away to build the tonnage up quite quickly.
You and I had conversations a couple months ago about your use of the borehole electromagnetic survey. And I'm just keep on thinking, well, you know, you have these new target generations, you do drill it, whether you hit or not, at least you're going to be able to use, will you be able to use that type of survey in those holes and really get a better scope of the lay of the land?
Absolutely. And that's all part of, you know, using the modern exploration techniques at Tom Tebow that have never been done.
Yeah.
You know, downhole EM was really not even used in the Bergslag until the 1990s. We used it on most of the holes that we drilled on our last drill program. So we found some really good anomalies that we're going to follow up on. One complication that did come up a few times is that there's so many conductive lenses all around that it creates noise, and so it kind of scatters the signal sometimes. But especially around hole one, we've got a really great EM downhole EM target to the north, and then you know, stepping out from that hit to the south will be really good as well.
I want to step away from the project and just get a broader sense of the base metal complex. I mean, we have a supply and demand deficit, supply chain shortages everywhere. In the long run, you know, knowing that Sweden is a big producer of these types of metals, and they're always going to be looking to add, you know, it seems like District and Tom Tebow projects and your other projects in Sweden are set up for really a nice long-term outlook for development. In fact, I think it was Goldman Sachs, it was this morning, I haven't read the report, but I did see a headline that they said current deficits across all metals with the expectation that it will last into years and, you know, years in front of us. So with that, you know, knowing that, I mean, does it feel like there's a little bit of, I mean, I don't want to say pressure, but the need to really move this thing as fast as possible?
Yeah, I mean, it's a balance. You want to move it as fast as possible, but you want to make sure that you've got you know all your data sets in line. You don't want to be putting holes in too quickly. There was a rush into, you know, Sweden and Scandinavia in the early to mid 2000s, mm-hmm. and you know, from what I saw, a lot of the companies that came in, they moved too quickly. They just did an airborne survey and they drilled like a mag anomaly, and that's a, you know, great way to get straight to failure. You need to really, you know, get as many data sets as you can, geochemical, geophysical, you know, mapping. You need to bring in experts like Rodney Allen, our country manager, like Hein Rat. You need to, you need to have multi anomaly targets to really prioritize where you're going to go. So, I mean, definitely move quickly for sure, but also to make smart drilling decisions, because it's $300 a meter.
Yeah.
You have to use that money very effectively. But I mean, that's also one reason why, you know, we've taken this opportunity in Sweden to pick up more ground. And, you know, our whole mandate is to become the lead, you know, explorer and developer in the Bergslagen.
There's no secret that there is a little bit of a workforce shortage, even in mining and exploration. Do you find that's to be true in Sweden as well? Are you having a hard time finding drillers, people on the ground?
I'd say we're actually doing quite well.
That's good.
As a part to, yeah, I've heard this, especially in the US and Canada. But I mean, we've got high tech drilling. Their home base is out of Portugal. Things aren't as busy in Europe. So yeah, we seem to be in a good spot with our drilling, and there's a lot of geologists that are available as well. I mean, it really helps because, you know, we work very closely with EMX, and you know, they're dialed in to Scandinavia and having been there since 2012. So,
mm-hmm.
And then Hein Rat, I mean, he's been working the Bergslagen, our country manager, for 12 years with Boliden. I mean, he's got a lot of connections as well. So it's, we've never been at a point where we're scrambling to find people. So it's been quite nice. And then also turnaround times for assays have been quite reasonable.
Yeah.
I was told 4 to 6 weeks, and the first few batches were 6 weeks, and then August happened, and then a lot of people kind of stepped away from the desk, and then the last batch took more like 10 weeks.
Yeah. What does, and moving forward into the fall and into the winter, you know, how do you define success for this next phase of Tom Tebow?
Yeah, so phase one was really about, you know, I hadn't seen any drilling for half a century. It was about, you know, getting our bearing. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, we were doing some twinning, we were doing some modest step outs. We're getting geochemical data that Rodney Allen's doing a whole rock geochemical analysis on to help us make sure that we're hitting the target horizon and to see actually how strong the alteration is. So it's really setting what the work that we did with phase one was, you know, somewhat conservative. It's setting us up for very aggressive step outs and then to do, you know, more regional drilling. So obviously success would be hitting on the kilometer step out to the northeast as a you know, grassroots discovery. But also, you know, near the Tom Tebow mine complex, if we mm-hmm. do a 100 meter step out and hit, you know, down dip or a long strike, you know, away from our existing holes and historical holes, that's success as well. And really, we want to be in a position where we like an area so much that we, you know, we start delineation drilling it and, you know, working towards a resource and getting to that, you know, kind of threshold of 10 million tons.
Yeah. How's the bank account look right now?
Really good. Yeah, we've been really tight. I mean, it's a tight ship at District. We've got $4 million in cash right now. Our budget for the second half of up to the end of the year is about $2.7 million. So, come January, we should be still sitting at $1.3 million.
So, it's going to be safe to assume maybe hitting the markets sometime next year to raise?
If there's a window that opens up, I mean, obviously we're going to be doing the same game plan at our two new acquisitions, Gru Brzee and Sfarjo,
uh-huh.
In terms of like doing airborne survey, the groundwork, historical compilation work. And so I'd like to be in a position where we can drill both of those projects, you know, in the first half of 2022. So obviously that will require financing.
Yep. Okay. Garrett, good to see you. Thanks for the update.
Absolute pleasure.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a chance we might do this again next month. So hold on. Hopefully there's some more news to build up upon. That's Garrett Ainsworth from District Metals, again, trading on the TSX Venture with DMX. And we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with some more news from the Beaver Creek Precious Metals Summit.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak to a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.